So can they afford to run it back? I mean, I think they can. It's not like this thing has to change no matter what. I don't want to make change just for change's sake, because I'm mad.
Right. You never want to just make these big, bold moves where it crushes whatever flexibility you had left and then can close a window.
Uh-huh.
That's always, and you can argue, the Browns, that happened with Deshaun Watson. Did Deshaun Watson, that trade, which I thought made sense at the time, clearly wasn't. That you can make the argument that that closed the window once and for all those talented guys that we had on that team.
216-474-0092. Let me get to Rick in Euclid. You're next up on the Fan. Hello, Rick.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Doing wonderful, Rick. You go right on ahead.
Well, you know, I was saying earlier in the season that I think one of the biggest mistakes that the Cavs made was that they did not bring in another big man. They needed another big man. I hear all the people screaming about Jared Allen. Jared Allen's a good player. It's just like in the last game of the series, you know, in the first quarter, you're feeding the guy's scoring, they can't do anything about it, him and Mobley both, and then the team went away from it. Some of that is coaching. And what you have to understand is a guy like a Jared Allen, and even Evan Mobley to a certain extent, they're big men. You got to get them the ball. Especially Jared, you got to feed him and let him rim run and do the whole thing like that, and that gets him engaged. And that just the game just gets better for him when you give him touches. And Indiana couldn't do anything with it. I think that was a point where Atkinson kind of didn't make the best moves. And let's face it, Rick Carlisle is a championship coach. Atkinson's a good coach, but I think he learned a lot of things in this series.
Rick, thank you very much for the call. I think you're right on just about everything you said. In fact, I think you're right on everything you said. I agree with wholeheartedly. Not that I'm right and you're wrong, but I'm getting, you know what I'm saying.
We've always wondered what type of player, what's the profile of a player that matches up with Donovan Mitchell, okay? And then what's the type of big man that matches up with Evan Mobley? Because Evan and Jared won a ton of games together, a ton of games, and have had that thing humming. In the regular season. In the playoffs, it's kind of been a different story. So moving forward, it is going to be one of the challenges of Kobe Altman. And notice, he didn't mention Allen when he was talking about exciting players and what they could be. He didn't mention Jared Allen. Danny Cunningham brought that up.
Well, when do we had him on yesterday. Get away from core four? I mean, they've got to change some of the supporting cast, right?
You can't
just truly run it all back and keep those rotations the same. And, you know, I mean, we talked about in the season, like, more Dean Wade, but then he was hurt and things like that. I just don't see a world where we're giving Sam Merrill a bunch of time in the playoffs.
It's core four.
And with these guys, too, you know?
Core four. If you bring
in a guy that's more of a banger down low, and then now you need to stretch it out a little bit. Now you can bring in some of these pieces, but like a Max Strus, does that have to change?
That term has been suspended for the offseason.
Core four.
Yeah, because I guarantee if they keep everybody and they're getting ready for next season, the core four is back is going to be on all over social media. And we'll be back and hopeful again, but it's just going to be a long, arduous regular season because they're going to win a bunch of games probably, and we're not going to...
The snore for.
Yeah, okay. Or the sore for, as some people were saying. I think that's where people are going to stand on it. If they do make a move, then we'll probably come up with a different nickname for them. I think they can afford to run it back. With affording to run it back, it's still a second round of the playoffs team. Now, you would contend that if you traded three first-round picks for Donovan Mitchell and you're only able to make it to the second round, that is a failure. That is a failure. I still look at Kobe Altman and say, all right, you had to do what you had to do. Just because it was a failure doesn't mean you didn't do everything you could do. I hate to put this out. I think that both those things can be true. I think there's plenty of guys that run the string out, and they made every move they had to make at that time. Just maybe things got unfortunate at it. You made the right move to go get Jared Allen. And basically got him for nothing from the Brooklyn Nets. You made the right move to trade Colin Sexton, Lauri Markkanen, and those picks for Donovan Mitchell. That was the right move to make. Problem is that you're stuck, but you had to win more games. You had to justify your vision. So he did that. And I don't know if there's a viable way out of this. Because anytime I bring up Evan Mobley and Giannis Antetokounmpo, I got plenty of people wanting to quote Bobby Marks and saying, this is impossible. Don't even bother. Don't even try. Okay, then we won't try. And I'm okay with running it back because I don't want to go and make a foolhardy decision. But we're probably just going to get the same results. We're just going to be even angrier. And then the clock really starts ticking at the end of next year.
Yeah, I know. You know, the one thing people always do in sports is they assume their players are going to continue to get better. I do wonder, like, yeah, fine. If Darius is healthy next year, are you going to get a better Darius? And he doesn't have a real big resume come playoff time. Evan Mobley, we think, is going to continue to get better. I'll bank on that. I would bet on that. What about Donovan Mitchell? At what point does he start to go the other way? Because we've seen him hobbling at the end of these series, at the end of these seasons.
The minutes down.
How old is he?
28, 29, 28.
He'll be 29. 2 years. Probably by the end of when we're talking about him being in Cleveland.
He's going to be 29 next season.
Now, his usage may change with another team, but that's going to be a different animal. So I don't... Your role with him, like, this has to be highlighted. This team's got to go. They got to go. They have to get moving here over the next couple of years, or the second round of the playoffs is going to be as good as it is. And guys, I'm still shocked. I mean, the things that we were saying about him, I never thought I would see a team this good in my life ever after LeBron. And I know they're good. I know they're talented. I still think they're a more talented team. That means a better team than the Indiana Pacers. So what happened? Why did this happen? And why does it continue to happen? And I say these whys, and everybody driving around right now, you guys know the answers to all of this. It's rhetorical. But there's very few things that they can really do. And if it's a foolhardy decision to make some of these decisions, I don't want Kobe Altman to do it. I'd rather go back and lose in the second round again than do something that torpedoes this organization.
By the way, I just looked. Dwayne Wade kind of plays similar style as Donovan Mitchell. His game started to go south around 30.
I don't want to hear that right
like
now.
Like, he was not the high flyer. He was not as herky-jerky, change of direction. Like,
why
that stuff started to fade.
I don't want to think about that right now.
Oh, no. Talk amongst yourselves real quick. Go.
We got two more years of this, right? Like,
well, yeah, and then, of course, he has the player option in year three.
Right.
So, obviously,
he wants to come back for that third year.
I should have just asked you. You got it. I had to look it up. If he's got the player option for year three, he'll probably be frustrated. If it continues to go like this, you know where it's going to go. You got next year, you got this year, next year. Yes, this year, next year, player option. He'll probably be frustrated, gone. If he's gone at 31, we're moving. We're moving on. So what's the point of not making, I mean, what? Why not make a move? What, because we need Evan Mobley to mature? Evan Mobley can mature somewhere else. Maybe him being the natural leader, because if you went to Milwaukee, he's on billboards here now, but he would be the Bucks' number one guy. If you made him the number one guy, maybe that would be good for him. Knowing that pressure's on him now, it might be a horrible thing for him. I hate to say it. He seems like a fine young man. But knowing that the pressure's on you now, it's your team now, because he's playing with Donovan.
I think he'd be fine here, but the transition from Donovan to him is not going to be an easy one.
Exactly, because Donovan's got to be willing to give that up. Is Donovan willing to give that up? When we have told Donovan for three straight years, we can't do this unless you're the leader. It's hard to trust other people, and especially when you've been with them for 3 years. Okay, now I hand the torch off to you. When they themselves have been saying that Donovan has to throw this team on his back. So it's only natural that Donovan is going to be distrusting of that. So when push comes to shove in ISO time, it's Donovan in ISO. It's not Evan in ISO. And then we're going to get left with the same results. That's why a natural separation. Donovan's here. You got Giannis in. Well, Donovan, you're a great player. You're an all-star. You ain't Giannis. Giannis, he's the captain now. And Evan goes up to Milwaukee. Hey, you guys are all good, but we're rebuilding, and here's Evan. Evan's the guy. Makes sense. Everybody's happy. We get a chance to really compete here over the next 2 years before everybody probably parts, hopefully as friends, and Evan Mobley will get his shot eventually with the Milwaukee Bucks. He's only 23 years old. What's wrong with that? Problem solved. Only if we get a championship.
Unless
but for
you
the
love
most part.
Evan Mobley in Cleveland.
Well, the Evan Mobley truthers, I've given you every single opportunity since the series ended, and nobody's called in screaming and yelling that we need to hold on to Evan Mobley. Has anybody noticed that, by the way? We have talked about this at certain times in three different shows. Three. Where's the Evan Mobley truthers? Where's the ones who are saying, I've called him the unicorn. Where are the people saying that we can't let go of the unicorn? Open line. Hit the buzzer. 216-474-0092. Go right on ahead. I'll play the bib thing here in a minute. Go right on ahead, guys. Hello? Where are they at? Because they ain't there for it. I got other people here who want to get into other things. I don't have any Evan Mobley people. Because you guys know in your heart of hearts, it's like, hey, it's Giannis. Giannis. That's okay. I'm not trading him for Detlef Schrempf. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Play the bib. You want to play the bib? Here's the bib. Maybe the bib. He admits that the Browns are leaving and there's more important things he feels than the Browns. Go.
There are more important priorities than the Cleveland Browns. We got to move on. They're going to Brook Park. If they go to Brook Park, God bless them. Good luck. But by hell or high water, we are going to develop a lakefront that our residents can be proud of.
Audio courtesy of Ed Gallick, Peggy Gallick, the Fox 8 I team. He was double Gallick, stood in there and answered the questions. Good on the mayor.
Are there more important priorities than the Cleveland Browns?
216-474-0092.
We asked this on a sports talk radio station that happens to be great partners with the Cleveland Browns.
I think the Browns themselves would admit that our children are our future.
I think anybody doing okay for themselves that don't have to run a city or a city government would say there are no more important things than the Cleveland Browns.
But they happen to own a day of the week here in this city during the season. I mean, let's call it what it is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Unless you're in charge of making sure that the crime rates are low and the schools are taken care of and the potholes are filled in, then the Browns are the most important thing to you.
But there are more important things than the Browns in the city of Cleveland. He's right. Long-term everyday solutions. Long-term everyday development. Because, you know, this is... It's hard for me to give up on, hey, you've had that stadium for 20 years. Only recently have you started to have other events there. Like, when we started bringing this up, you noticed this. So we were saying, gosh, they're only open for 10 days a year for stadium stuff. Or for and people were going, when's the last time we had monster trucks there? When's the last time we had a concert there? I mean, you just were able to start doing weddings here over the last couple of years. Other than that, there's nothing else going on. So you've had this huge footprint with 10 days a year. Now, they've been big days. Big days. But it's like, well, what about permanent residencies? What about permanent businesses being there? Why can't you do something like that? Yeah, the mayor's right. I know who butters my bread. Pro sports in Cleveland is feeds my family. And certainly feeds me. That's how I get my popcorns.
We're having a field day with popcorn.
Guys, they got this popcorn downstairs, and it's taken the station by storm. There are two rooms in here that have been completely swallowed in by this popcorn
it's
that they sold downstairs.
Multiple seconds.
And it's cheap. That's the thing. They're practically giving it away. That's how good this popcorn is. But it's what feeds my family. But I didn't even know that. Hey, if you could replace that, let somebody else deal with it. Let them have their cake and eat it too and all that other stuff over somewhere else. And you can put in permanent residencies that people want to buy, that people want to live in, establish property taxes, establish businesses down there, things that aren't going to go out of business in a month. And yeah, why wouldn't that be better than 10 days a year? I can understand that, but those days are big. They're probably, I have to imagine they are St. Patrick's Day, Dingus Day, the feast combined. On all 10 days, seven of the 10 days. By the end of the year, it's kind of like, this is manageable. There's some empty spots over here in the muni lot, but you get what I'm saying.